Sounds different, Julio. Dennis, got a little more bass.
Dennis came in here.
Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Don't do that.
It's time for episode 25, 27.
Hey, maybe it's that seat. I mean, what the fuck?
I was just thinking right now. He didn't do the whole, like, what episode is it before we got started? And
yeah.
I wondered how it was going to play out.
I mean, we're always making so much fun of Dennis for not getting the intro right.
And no, I did that on purpose. I knew it was 27.5.
Yeah, right. No way.
The voice that you're hearing is that of Julio Lara, not of Dennis Rodriguez, who is currently nursing the after effects of Las Vegas.
He says he's sick and might need his wisdom teeth out, which is a rough time in Vegas.
Yeah, wow. What?
The rest of us have been fine.
Yeah, I can't feel my liver, but my wisdom teeth, well, they're gone.
Yeah. So now he's in jeopardy. I mean, now Julio's here. Julio didn't ask. Julio just got in Dennis's seat, started fucking around with Dennis's computer, did the intro. Dennis has got to be sweating bullets right now.
Six, we probably already is sweating bullets, but yeah.
This is like Steve Young and Joe Montana right now.
Hold on, but I might have already fumbled. Give me 1 second.
Why, we're not recording?
We are recording, but someone's mic is not getting picked up.
Oh, my, whose is it?
Hold on. Go ahead and talk.
Hello, 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 hello.
Oh, there it is.
Go ahead.
Yep. Hello. Testing. This is the sound of my voice. You are hearing my voice.
Good?
Yeah.
All right, we're back.
Back in the New York groove?
Dennis, your job is safe. Julio had a chance to come straight in. He fumbled the snap.
Fumbled it. Actually, Sam Darnold did throw an interception on his first pass as a rookie. New York Jets.
All right, so you're comparing yourself to a 19-year-old.
And then he went and then he went like 18 of 21 the rest of the game.
I still remember the first time I played dunk ball, and we were playing, and a friend of ours was like, Kevin Garnett. You know, you'd be like, oh, Tim Hardaway or whatever, and we're like, you just compared yourself to a high school kid.
Oh, shit, he's 19.
Yeah.
All right, episode 27.5.
Of the
Startup Addict Podcast. Oh. Welcome.
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 Julio here with Jim and Nick.
Today we're talking about, what are we talking about?
Today we're talking about why are you here? to set up the laptop with the audio and make sure that we have an episode for Friday.
So I was thinking, why are you here? I always say that at the gym, primarily during abs, when I don't want to do anything. I'm like, why the fuck are you here? Just do this. You're already fucking here. You might as well do it, right? And lately, I've realized this could be more of a rallying cry, of an anthem, right? When you're at I don't know what I was thinking about, but I was thinking about the fact that before you just worked X amount of time, and that was just what it was. You know, people work 9 to 5 on Leave It to Beaver or whatever it was, right?
Now it's Leave It to Beaver.
Now it's 24 hours a day. You have all this stuff, and so you have to try to pace yourself and figure out like when am I going to get stuff done? How am I still going to enjoy my life or do whatever it is I want to do outside of work with that little balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to do it effectively is to like maximize your time, right? So I notice even things like, oh, I don't have time to do that, but I'm fucking lollygagging, or, oh, I should be doing this, but instead I've gotten sidetracked by TV or some shit, right?
Mayans.
So I realized which we're supposed to talk about Mayans too, whether it's at the gym, when you're at work, spending time with your family, in meetings, negotiations, I found it's effective to ask myself, why the fuck am I here? And as a way to keep myself on track, right? So examples from last week. So Jim obviously is fucking, that sounded terrible. Jim.
Nick, he's right here.
I'm right over here.
I meant G-Y-M. Jim, it's obviously during abs or doing something you don't want to do. It's like, why? You know, I don't want to do this. Right. And it's all kind of like, you know, because I'm trying to stay true to the promise we made to Maurice, which you guys aren't doing, which I would post my workouts. And so there's times where I don't want to work out, or I say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do rounds of this many. And then if I hadn't told myself and wasn't planning on posting it, I'd do 10 instead of 20 of each thing. But then I kind of feel like accountable, and like it would be disingenuous to write I did 10 of these when I was supposed to do 20 or whatever. So it helps me get through. But I'm just more like, you know, something that's physically painful, you can be like, you want to do, you're like, you're here, just fucking do it, get it done, right? They say like, working out, the hardest part is getting to the point where it's productive. So if you've gotten to the point where it's productive, where it's starting to hurt, your muscles starting to fail, starting to burn, well, you already got to the productive part, so you might as well stay there and fucking power through the pain to get the benefits, right? Work-wise, like, I found sometimes on the days when you're busier and you're kind of bombing in and out of places, you get more done than a day when you have the whole day and you're like, all right, I'm going to slowly work on these things, because you get distracted, you get coffee a million times, you start talking about fantasy football, you do whatever it is. When you don't have enough time, you have no choice than to be like, why am I here? What do I got to get done? Okay, done. Go to the next place.
Deadlines.
Right? So if you have too much time, you could still... On the days where you have too much time, that means you could either get more done or you get what you need to get done and you go enjoy your life for the rest of the time, right? But mm-hmm. the way that happens is by being like, why am I here? Let's get this over with. Let's make sure that if people are expecting help or contribution or discussion, we have it, instead of saying, you know, I have time. And then with family, the same thing. We talked last time about on the legacy stuff is like, you know, well, okay, so when you're at home mm-hmm. and you've got a few hours before your son's going to go to bed or whatever, you can't, you know, why are you doing things then that you could do right afterwards, right? Or you got to maximize those things, right? Or if like you're, if my wife like says, hey, do you want to watch this show or do you want to eat dinner or whatever together? It's like, why am I saying sometimes... I got to finish this shit, because I could finish that afterwards, right? So the goal is like, why are you here? You're here to spend time with your family. You're here to spend time with your wife, your son. Do it, you know, and then it simplifies everything, because then you don't have these like, you know, putting something off or just like half-assing something always then leads to something else being put off or half-assed, right? Meetings. A lot of times in meetings, they go on too long or... You get off topic, and that's a tough one, especially for me, because I love to go off topic. But like the most effective meetings are when everyone knows exactly why they're here. They all came prepared. They knock everything out, and they go on, and they have time to do the rest of their shit. And then that affects everything else, because then instead of getting to the end of the day and being like, I wasted fucking 3 hours in a meeting, they're like, well, I spent 30 minutes in a meeting. It was super efficient. I came out of there, spent 2.5 hours getting my shit done, right? And then even... the other reason I thought of it was even like negotiations. Like I was in a working on an investor thing last week, and a lot of times in the like lead up or the whatever they call them, like, you know, it's not the end, right? You just like you're kind of negotiating, but you're kind of just talking. It, like a whole bunch of things are going on, right? And then what I found was interesting was when it got to the end, where it was kind of like, say it now or forever hold your peace. You say things, you treat that meeting differently than you do the earlier ones, and it's much more productive. So I reminded myself, like, hey, you know, it's fine to be like, hey guys, how's it going, blah, 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 and all, but like, you still have to figure out, like, why am I here? Am I here, are we friends? Are we coworkers? Or are this,
frenemies.
You know, is this some kind of negotiation? And you know, make the assumption no one wants to just, you know, get straight down to business and this, that, and the other. But no, they probably do. We probably could have wasted, you know, no one, it goes back to, I mean, it's still a meeting, right? No one wants to sit here and talk for an hour and then finally have the person say what they wanted to say in the beginning.
I think there's a problem with the why I'm here thing. I mean, for you, it's going to work, right? Because you got to realize that everyone's probably asking themselves that question. Why are you here is one thing.
What the hell? That was rude.
Why
we're all asking ourselves, why the fuck is he here?
What? No. What I'm saying is, you're saying...
Fuck out of here.
Unbelievable.
You're saying...
Dennis here is the real question.
To yourself, well, where is that guy?
Why isn't Dennis?
You're saying to yourself, why am I here? And you have an answer for that in your head. But I'm saying, why am I here? And I have an answer to that. Now, is the answer to that question the same? And then, especially in terms of a meeting, that becomes problematic, right? Like, you're saying, why am I here? And you're like, okay, I've got these 6 things I need to get done, and maybe 3 of them are really important. And, you know, I'm saying, why am I here? And I'm thinking, okay, now I've got these 6 things, and I think they're important. And I think that I like this thought, by the way. I think I probably use it all the time on just a ton of stuff that I'm doing, and I can relate. But, like, I think there's problems in that. Right. And I think, how does it sync up with others in the room?
I was assuming that, like, I wasn't assuming, like, I'm only here for me. I was thinking, like, why am I here? Right. I'm here to meet. I'm here to go through my list of things, go through your list of things, go through your list of things, or I'm here to discuss whatever it is.
Right. But that's not always the case in a room full of people, right?
Yeah.
And that's where the problems when you get into it made me think of it, because you're like, these meetings that go 3-4 hours and you're like, wait, what just happened to me, right? Like, what did we just do, right? Like, I wonder how many people are asking, like, you know, I guess it's sort of your agenda or what you think you're going to do. And like, maybe if people ask that question to themselves, why am I here? What am I looking to achieve? Maybe that would speed things up in a lot of these cases.
Yeah. I guess if everyone asked themselves that, and then if also everyone respected everyone else in the meeting and thought, why am I here? And why am I here doesn't mean like I got other shit to do, why am I here? It's more like, why am I here? Yeah, like you said, why am I here? Let me maximize whatever the reason I'm here for. Let me maximize that. But then it's also showing the respect of other people of like, this person has stuff to do. Why are they here? Do they, what it is they want to talk about? Let's talk about it. And also, if they don't need to be here, let's get them out of here.
Yeah.
In a polite way, right? Like, there's a lot of times people go to meetings because they feel like,
my gosh.
Okay, Julio, see you later.
I got it.
A lot of times people feel like they have to be there to be included, or they want to be there to be included. And then like, but the only reason they want to be there is to be included when
maybe they don't have anything on the agenda, right?
Or they need to be there. So like, it's trying to get to that whole, like, I don't know. I guess I was trying to get to that like separation of like, what's the point and then what's the rest, right? And maybe if we can get to the point quicker, then we can spend more time talking about the weekend or the rest or other random ideas within the company. But I don't know. I just realized like, why is it you can be so productive on a busy day and on a slow day, you can be so unproductive? And there's nothing less fulfilling than a slow day when you realized you just kind of wasted a lot of the day. So you either needed to say, why am I here, and get a whole bunch of shit done, or be like, why am I here? Wait a minute. I don't know. I should go focus on...
I should probably
on,
go find out, you know, why.
I should go focus on family or errands or some shit, because in 4 hours, I know why I have to be here and I'm already prepared and... It's not doing, you know, I guess it's if you have a culture of like, hey, like not just time based, you know, not just being here at the right time.
Right.
It's more like, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm not there. I'm not going to be there much today. But then I realize on the days that I come in when my goal is just to be there, I'm more just distracting, or I should just be doing something else. But I also think it's nothing more frustrating in a negotiation or a meeting than knowing that someone has a point or something they want to say, and you just have to go through all these pleasantries for a fucking hour to get to the point. And so I think if you just had a culture where everyone's like, let's start with, you know, hey, let's start with why we're here and let's get this done, then A, it gives you, you won't run out of time talking about something important because you've already wasted all the time on something unimportant, and B, it just makes it gets rid of the uncomfortableness of like, what's the point? Let's get straight to the point. You know, you can tell when you're talking to someone. Maybe you can tell. I mean, maybe it happens when people talk to me. But you can tell when you're talking to someone, and there's something else they want to say, or there's something else, somewhere else they want to be, or they haven't done. You know, it's like, I don't know.
I remember early on for me, when I was a younger man, I sat in these all hands staff meetings at the company I was working for, and the guy who ran the meeting was infuriating. He just let the whole room run amok. And a meeting that should have taken 30 minutes would take 3-4 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking as I got older, I kept that in my brain thinking, you know, like all these people are sitting here. We're wasting all their time. You're right. Half the room probably didn't even need to be in the meeting, but was there. And I thought someday when I get to a point where I can run a meeting, like I want to, one, be respectful of the people that are in the room. And two, I want to have a clear and concise agenda on what we're doing and get them in and out quickly. And, a couple years ago, I was running a pretty much a daily meeting, and everyone was like, your meetings are so fast and they're so put together. And I was like, yeah, because like the last thing you want to do is be sitting in some place where like you're asking yourself the question, why am I here?
Yeah, what am I doing?
What am I doing? What's going on? So I like this. I think I don't know how that relates to the gym, because I think like if you're asking why you're there in the gym, maybe you need to. Like, the reason you're there in the gym is because it makes you feel better.
No, you're more, it's not like I'm asking. I'm more telling myself, like, as we're doing abs and I'm like, I can't do anymore. And then my brain's like, I can't do anymore. Maybe I'll, you know, if we're doing crunches, I'll stop for a second. And then in my head, I'm like, why the fuck are you here? You're here
to work out
for this. Let's go. So it's more like it's less a question. It's more like a rallying cry.
I do that always. Always in the gym, especially when it gets hard like that. I'm like, you did the hardest part. You got all the way here. Just continue.
And then sometimes it's the same with, you know, meetings, or especially if I don't think I have an aggressive nature, but if you kind of like, I guess part of it is like, I was in a negotiation where I realized that like not strongly objecting to something was taken to be agreement. Where to me, it was taken to be like, huh, all right, well, yeah, you're throwing, you know, like almost like, oh, okay, that's what you want. Let me think about that. Or, huh, I can see why you'd want that. But I wasn't thinking it was like agreement.
Right.
So all of a sudden I was like, shit, I got to be more direct and just to the point. Now, part of that goes back towards a couple of times ago, we were talking about vision, right? So if you don't know exactly what you want, then sometimes it's hard to know why you're here.
Sure.
Right. I mean, we had this other project we're working on. Julio was half listening to it yesterday. We're just conversation after conversation. And we basically all like flipped titles 4,000 times. And
did you end up with one?
I did end up with one. Yeah.
Okay, good. I thought that was why you were on those phone calls.
And apparently it was confusing because even after it was decided, Julio still was sending me suggestions for, hey, based on what I heard of your conversation, here's some ideas.
Here's a short list.
Which I forgot to reply to.
Well, but when I sent you that message, well, maybe you had a conversation right after you left. So perhaps you had already decided on a title, but I did.
I think I got in a conversation in the car, and then I think I read your message.
I think the.
I looked at my phone. I saw Julio's message. I'm like, "Why is this here?"
I think the.
No, better than a text, Nick. After like six.
I think the "why you're here" thing could work in a lot of life of situations, especially maybe like in a work situation where you're working someplace that maybe you aren't happy, and why are you here is a good question to ask. If you can't answer that question, maybe that's not the right place for you.
Well, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. It's anything, right? You see, how many people do you know that are in relationships where they're like,
why am I here?
Why am I here?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's just weird. Like, it's like it's so easy for us to do things like
fall into these easy situations.
I just thought of my girlfriend last night. We were at a Foo Fighter concert. It's like, so out of her element. So the poor thing is sitting in her chair and she's got her fingers in her ears, not because she doesn't want to hear the music, because it's loud as fuck in San Jose.
She's like, why can't I hear?
Yeah. So say, why am I here? And then she probably looked up at me and like, oh, this is why I'm here. This guy right here, this motherfucker.
So when I was in college, I don't know why I thought of this story, but I like to make myself look like an idiot. When I was at Santa Barbara, that was probably sophomore year or something. We were just getting wasted the night before, right? So you get up, you go into class, and you're still kind of dizzy and groggy. Probably how Dennis is feeling right now. And I remember I was like, this was before cell phones. So I'm just wandering from Ivy over to campus, going to the bridge, and I'm just walking along the path. And I'm just spaced out, like thinking about something. And at some point I veered off the path, and I had kind of like walked on like, you know, kind of tambark covered landscaping. And then I stopped and like, I was like in the middle, I was like in this little circle of bushes, like dead end that was like, I was supposed to go straight, and somehow I had veered off to the left and just kind of gone off a path into landscaping. I remember sitting there and being like, it's almost like you wake up sometimes, you're like, what the fuck, why am I here? What the fuck am I doing? I don't know if it happens to you, I guess drive sometimes, right? Sometimes you're driving and you realize, wait, I've just been spaced out for the last like 30 seconds. Now,
well, you don't remember how you got to where you were going.
Like if you told yourself every second, you'd be like, you know exactly where you are, but you're just thinking about something where all of a sudden you're like, oh shit.
Autopilot. You realize you've driven 20 minutes the wrong way, right? You're like, wait, I'm not even going to this place. What am I doing right now?
Yeah.
I think Dennis is probably asking himself this weekend.
He's probably thinking, he's going to listen to this and think, why was I not there? Needed a voice of reason over there. I think that was it. I think it's hard right now with there not being any time limits on a traditional workday. There not being any restrictions on how many things you can work on. The best thing is people can work on a million things. But overall, it makes it really challenging. So it's not a revolutionary idea. It's more just like maybe as you get older, you realize saying like, why? Like, why did I spend so much time on this? Or why am I wasting so much time on that? I saw Johnny Crapp. Johnny Crapp was an artist that's done some work for us in the past. And I saw on his Instagram, he posted a picture of I think it was an oil painting he was finishing. And he's like, decided to give this some final touches last night instead of wasting a couple hours flipping through the TV on the couch. And maybe it's because we're getting old. Anyone young listening to this is probably like, this is like parents talking. But it does get you thinking like, yeah, why, right? Like you want to do all these things, you can do them all if you fucking get on it and figure out why. Now we did, today was big news. We signed our lease.
Bam.
For XXX Chicken.
This is why we are on this podcast today.
So that's why we're fired up.
It's a lot of chicken.
You know, hopefully no one who orders there will say, why am I here?
That's true.
<But no. laughs> Yeah. Why did I do that?
There you go. That's a tagline for the, let's put that on a shirt. Remember why you're here. XXX Chicken.
XXX Chicken #1 will be opening in Burlingame, California in November. So we're fired up. That's not that far away.
No, really isn't.
It's right around the corner.
We got like a month and a half until we get the space, and probably 2 months till we're open.
So a good reminder would be when we're in the location next time is remember why we're there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Take pictures. Stuff. Remember why we're here.
Yeah. Any Mayans thoughts?
Did you watch? Did you watch?
I did.
You did? How about you?
Yeah.
I did.
You did? I didn't have as like many thoughts this time. It wasn't as thought provoking. It was disturbing.
Well, let's see here. Maybe it wasn't as disturbing as the first one.
Yeah, come on.
Well, the burned bodies were pretty disturbing.
But you know, they didn't really
quick.
Spoiler alert, guys. Yeah, there wasn't any sort of
yeah.
If they would have shown them lighting them on fire, maybe probably a different story.
It feels lost to me. It feels lost already.
They're doing like all the different what do they call them? Plot twists and random relationships. They're just rapid firing through them.
Yeah.
Like every episode there's like three.
The girl showing up at Zeke's dad's shop was surprising.
Yeah.
Oh, did you get
then
the
guy Angel having had a relationship with the head of the revolutionary
Adelita or whatever. That was a little bit.
I didn't see that coming, yeah.
I kind of felt like maybe there was something there.
Did you get the sense that there was a quick flashback when he walks out the door and puts her into the car? Angel puts her into the car.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a guy on a gurney or a body on a gurney.
So
who in the car?
So he puts. They say goodbye.
The girl comes. The girl comes to ask for his help towards the end of the episode.
Easy.
Yeah, easy. Sorry.
Easy, yeah.
Comes to ask for his help, and
what did you call him? Zeke. I call him Zeke.
No, he called him Angel.
I called him Angel. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Angel's the brother, right?
I wish they called him Zeke. Why don't they? I was thinking about that.
Zeke's a good name.
Yeah, because his name's Ezekiel.
My mom wants me to call my kid Ezekiel. By the way,
I like Ezekiel.
Side note.
Anyway, she comes. They talk. He opens the door, puts her in the car, and then there's a flashback of him standing in the exact same space looking out, and there's a gurney that goes by of like a dead body.
I think that's the dead cop.
It is the dead cop. And well, you know what that made me think of?
What dead cop?
Maybe she shot him and he took the bullet for her. He went to prison for her.
Hey, that's actually a pretty good thought.
He goes to jail because he shot a cop.
That's back to the conversation that he had with the DEA agent where he says, you shot a cop, you know, you shouldn't even, yeah, I made this deal for you, and he's trying to like grab him by the balls and shit, you know, make sure he doesn't have any leverage. But aside from that,
I don't know. I just felt like, yeah, there was something off. I feel like there was a lot of like exposition, like setting up all the different characters, getting everyone kind of going. And I was thinking, okay, you know, like we need to learn about them. We need to know about them. We need to have a feeling for them. But it didn't feel, it wasn't as strong as the first episode.
Yeah, it felt kind of rushed.
Yeah. So I hope that it gets better as it goes along.
I don't know. The fact that he's got some kind of superpower where he can memorize shit really fast is a little off.
Oh, when they were driving by and he sees
the
station wagon?
A station wagon that shouldn't mean anything to him because they haven't heard anything about a station wagon up to that point, right?
Yeah, that was
kind of cheap. Do you think the godfather, the padrino, the guy from Sons, is onto something? Like he kind of senses that something is up with Angel and the whole
other
group.
There was a couple of like looks at him from the camera.
Kinda
when Angel took the phone, he thought like he looked at him like the timing was weird.
Yeah.
But then when Easy spoke up to the cartel guy, they liked that. So
and then there was that time at the bar afterwards where Easy is with his dad, and then he sees the padrino sees Angel at the bar, and he's like, everything okay? And he's like, oh, it's just been a long day, you know? I was like, oh, I think he's been around the game long enough to know that maybe there's something up there.
That's Alvarez. I think what's gonna happen is Alvarez is gonna embrace the
new way.
These guys that are like coming up because he wants he's gonna still from Sons of Anarchy. He's gonna have this like idealistic view of how it should be, and the cartels are bad, and you know, the human side of the revolutionaries is better than the cartel side.
Yeah, I mean they're building to that too, right? Like
especially like when they thought Easy was gonna get in trouble.
Yep.
And instead, he gave him fist bump, whatever.
Yeah, and there's no love between him and the main guy, right? It's all money, right, between the cartel and them. So,
and even the guy
talking about Alvarez about the I thought I heard something where they were talking about how he knew his dad or something like that. There was like
the deal with his dad. Yeah. That's why. Yeah, but even like. It happens in Sons of Anarchy all the time too. So Alvarez will be like, he's considered like he's a fucking biker gangster, but he's still like morally good, right? And then they always seem to portray the guys that like the regular, the guy who's the leader of the local little Mayans crew right now,
mm-hmm.
they always portray them as limited, right? Like they're a good soldier, but they're kind of limited. They can never quite figure shit out. And then Easy's like Jax, the younger guy with all the potential, who's got a new, he's still a badass, but he's got the morally good. Compass, and then the OG will end up liking him better. And
yeah. Yeah.
So it's,
maybe they'll turn it on its end and it'll be a little different this time out.
Yeah. And we had another, Sons of Anarchy, you know, so the guy with the fake fingers is from Sons of Anarchy.
I thought so. Fake fingers. I thought so. He's in
the guy in the fake fingers where the guy looks up, he works in the body shop, the car wrecking shop.
Oh, I know. Okay. So that's the scene where the one of the Mayan guys comes in
and looks up the porn site. Yeah. The porn girl. And then the guy has all the fake fingers. Well, the reason he has all the fake fingers is because he was on Sons of Anarchy. He worked in the shop at their headquarters, and he couldn't stop jerking off. So they chopped his fingers off, right? Yeah.
Oh, shit. Then that says a lot. That
they
says
chopped
a lot.
His fingers off. And that's why it was funny that then
that he comes back and looks at a fucking porn site.
He still has a porn site on there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then that was that twist at the end, right? That was, I don't say about a twist, but where that the brother, I don't remember his name right now, but he goes to pick up his mom.
Yeah, so that was the brother where the Dogwood gangsters had done some shot. They thought they had taken a porn video with his sister,
right.
But it wasn't his sister. So then the guys thought, because he doesn't have a sister that young, so then all the guys thought, oh, shit, we got that information out of him, because they thought they, you know, screwed over your sister, but they didn't. But then clearly something wasn't quite right. So
yeah.
I can't figure out if it's either he does have a younger sister.
I think he does.
That no one knows about. Or he had a girlfriend that was really young.
Yeah, something.
So then he feels like he's picking up a hooker, but then it turns out the hooker's his mom.
Is it mom?
That part got a little weird.
Yeah. And then it cuts it off,
like,
right there.
I thought for sure it was going to be like the girl. Like, yeah. he really did have a sister. And then I'm like, wait, what
She's
the?
All, you must be a little desperate. And he's like, mom, just get in the car.
It's like, well, that was, the weirdest thing ever, dude. That's got to be like top. That's got to be the worst way to find your mom. I'm sorry. It has to be.
She's got to be saying, why are you here?
Why are you here?
Yeah, she is saying that, right?
What the fuck?
I guess he'd be saying that, too.
Oh, so, that's good.
You know what? So after we reviewed it, I actually liked it better than when I watched it.
Yeah.
Now I'm fired up for episode 3.
Well, I'm trying to see if there's any question that I would want answered right out of the gate. But I think that's going to be interesting. It looks like I think they get, just based on the scenes from next week's, I have a feeling that they're not going to get the baby back at all.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that whole part was like, oh, hey, your brother, guess what? We let him die.
Well, that also gets her out so she can now completely disassociate from the cartel guy and her romance can rekindle with Easy because there's no baby involved.
Right, which then brings back to the whole thing. I think that he took the jail time for her, which then makes it even more complicated.
If you go back to the first episode, there's a flashback when she finds out that he's in jail.
Right.
So if she had done it, unless she's doing a fantastic fucking acting job on the spot, where it's like you have to act like
you don't know,
and that you lost the baby.
What if Edwards James almost did it?
I could.
Ooh, maybe could
see that. He's gonna turn out to be a badass at some point.
I mean, turn out.
Oh yeah, well, he was pointing a gun at somebody.
Gun, yeah.
Yeah. Plus, he's a badass in general. Like, I wouldn't.
Because there's a weird respect from the Mayan guys when they're like, oh, he's gone to visit.
Yeah, you're the butcher. You don't want to, because he'll put you on a meat hook or something like that.
He's going to be like Green Street Hooligans, where it was like remember how they always talk about the legend, the old legend gangster, and it was the guy's older brother?
Yep.
He's going to be something like that. He's going to somehow.
Yeah, because so far, Edward James almost is like, he's not being used. Like, he has like 5 lines. He's very quiet. Like, this guy's an amazing actor.
Yeah. You saw American Me, right?
No.
You didn't see American Me?
Did not.
You see American Me?
Yeah.
What the fuck? You should go home right now and watch American Me.
Why am I here?
Why?
No, you should watch that tonight. That's crazy.
American Me.
What the fuck? That movie is awesome.
I'm writing it down on my hand. Writing it down.
You can't see Edward James Olmos in the right light without that role. That's his role. What else has he even done?
Oh, he's done the Stand and Deliver. He's done a bunch of Latin movies that I've seen.
Nah, it's not the same. This has got to be his. This is like
he did Battlestar Galactica, man.
Battlestar Galactica,
dude.
No.
He was amazing in that.
American Me is like his.
That's his magnum.
That's
magnum,
his best. Yeah.
Magnum corpus, whatever it's called. What
was the magnum name of that? Opus.
Magnum opus. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, episode 27.5 in the books.
In the books. Let's see, Dennis. if this turns out to be the last episode that you're ever referenced on, we apologize for that. Hopefully you'll be back with us.
Tennis will return. And
we're going to decide in the next 5 minutes if it's your choice or not to come back.
Ask, why is Dennis here?
Hey, Dennis, get better.
We've got toughness requirements, and if you can't make the episode because you were in Vegas 4 weeks ago, we've got
questions. Must have hit him like a couple days after.
Actually, to Dennis' credit, he was well-behaved in Mexico. I mean, Mexico, in Vegas.
You just ended up in Mexico
the whole time? Yeah, he was in Vegas. He was. He said no hard alcohol. He successfully avoided hard alcohol.
Bullshit.
We kept trying to give him hard alcohol.
Really?
He did. And someone rated someone you were talking to rated how drunk everyone was in the group, and they were like, Brian first, then Jim, then Dennis,
and then me,
and then Nick. So Dennis came in third.
We were playing craps, and I was asking the when we started playing craps, none of us really knew that well how to play craps, and it had been a long day. And I said to I was next to the dealer or the pit boss, whatever, and I was like, I made some comment, and he said something kind of like snappy back, but I didn't make a comment to him. I made a comment like, oh shit, what are we doing here? Or something. So, yeah. And he was like, well, some of us have to be here because we're working or something weird. And I was like, oh, that was weird. So I was like, hey, I don't know, it seemed like I offended you or something. I didn't mean to say anything rude. Like, can't tell. Like, are we really drunk? Like, it's been a long day. And he's like, it kind of goes like, gets drunker along the line between you guys. So the four of us are standing in line. So I'm like, oh, am I at the beginning of the line or the end of the line? So you're at the beginning of the line, and it gets drunker as you go along, the four of you. I was like, sweet.
Wait, how did you? Because you told me that you had never seen Nick lose so much.
Because
you were sober the entire time and you were losing.
No, he was not such great frequency. He was not sober.
So I played
soberist.
So I yeah, won.
But that scale is pretty.
Yeah. Okay, I was dealing with some pretty severe
competition.
So I won all my sports bets, and then we played blackjack for a little bit. It was fine. Then we sat down at a point where I was playing blackjack, and I just kept pulling money out. Even to the point where some random guy next to me was like getting mad at me for betting so much. But I had won more than I lost on sports bets. So I'd already done well on sports bets. So I figured, well, second of all, I'm like, I was like, why am I here? Right. Why did I bring
it comes full circle.
I'm like, why did I bring this fucking money? I brought this money to gamble. Like it's not fucking time to go to bed yet. Like, so I might as well. I was here. I brought it to gamble. Might as well gamble. So then I kept losing and losing and losing. So then we stopped, at which point I'm down. And then that was before. Anyways, but then we walked away. We did something else, wandered around in circles. And then we went back. And at the very end, I was like, well, I should keep gambling. I'm still fucking here. So then I kept gambling. And then I went on a winning streak, which was not equal to how much I lost playing blackjack the first time. But it got me, combined with the last sports bet coming in, to basically I was down $100 for the trip.
That's beautiful. That's winning in Vegas. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. But there was so, that. There was that.
But
that
there was
small,
a point.
There was a small point a where point. Like.
Yeah. 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 You keep pulling money in your pocket, and at some point, you've got to go away and check if there's any money left in your pocket. Because you pulled out.
Save my seat here. Yeah. I'm gonna put a thing on my drink real quick.
You pulled it out enough times that you can't remember how much you've pulled out. So then you start thinking. No, I had a really good cushion, right, from the sports bets. But then you can't remember.
Maybe Dennis realized how much money he lost in Vegas, and that's what got him sick.
I don't feel like he did all that bad either.
Actually, surprisingly, Dennis was the most into the football games.
Bullshit.
No, yeah, so for real.
He picked teams randomly. Obviously, he has no idea who's good, who's not. He just picked him on the plane with Brian. Then he bet on him, and then when we were watching the games, he was just like the most intensely watching him in the first quarter. Could have been that he doesn't have the context of if the first quarter is less relevant than the fourth quarter.
He's like, it's over, right? I won?
And what's funny is he was living and dying at every play, and then he did a 14 parlay, and he was like, it was almost like your first time gambling on sports going through it again, because he hit the first three. And then, no, he hit the first two. The third game he lost because of the line. He picked a favorite. But the team he picked won. And then the fourth game he won.
Oh, so
on the 14 parlay, he's like, this is bullshit. I should get paid. I'm like, why? He's like, I got all four of them right. I'm like, yeah, but no, you didn't. You got three of them right. Yeah, but the one I got wrong, the team still won. Like, yeah, but that's why there's odds. Like, you know,
he's going back for
you
that.
You should have just taken the money line. But then he's like, oh, I could have taken the money line. We're like, yeah, but they were a huge favorite, so they wouldn't have paid as much. So it was
yeah, but I still would have won, damn it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he was really into it. Really into it.
All right. Well.
Oh,
last part wasn't very necessary.
Wait, this is where Dennis says. So.
What do you got written on your hand? You wrote a note to yourself.
American earlier? Me.
Oh, nice.
Oh, this guy. Where would you be able to find us on social media?
Search us on Instagram at the Startup Addict, Twitter, Startup_Addict, online at thestartupaddict.com. Search us on YouTube, searching the Startup Addict. Where else are we?
We're everywhere.
Oh, we're on castbox.fm, by the way, too.
Wow.
So if you want to look us up there, you can. For Dennis Rodriguez. We are the Startup Addict Podcast, signing out, episode 25.5.
3 out of 4. Dennis, why aren't you here?